Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
This evening, I have in the studio with me my son, Clayton, who is now my boss. He's the CEO of Ware's Valley Ranch. He's also the CEO of Thrive in Knoxville, which is an after-school program that does a fabulous work. He's also an attorney, and he's also a pastor. And he stays busy, but he's got a wife and who's marvelous and five splendid children who are my grandchildren. And I'm very, very thankful for the multiple ways in which God uses him. But this evening, we're going to talk together a little bit about a subject that some of you still want to talk about, and some of you are probably fed up with hearing about, and that is the opening ceremony of the Olympics. So, Clayton, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
When you encountered that horrible, horrible opening ceremony, were you shocked that people who are on their way to hell could behave that badly?
I really was, and it's sad to say because I have no expectations for people who aren't Christians to behave like Christians, but I, the day before the opening ceremony, posted something asking folks what they're most looking forward to in the Olympics. I thought that in a time of tremendous political upheaval, what a nice chance to get a break from controversy. We can all come together. We can see the greatest parts of the real American melting pot and meritocracy as a national delegation. We, of course, look by far the most diverse of any country in the world. And we get to see people who aren't there for any reason other than being better than other people at the thing they do. And so I thought we could all come together and enjoy cheering some. And we certainly can. But it was marred by a shocking display of evil by a man who is in his early 40s. He is somewhat famous in France. I had never heard of him before, but I don't follow arts culture, even if someone was famous in New York. And this man created something that was at once three things. This entire ceremony he created was more than that. There were many tableaus all over that were doing different things. This particular tableau was three things. The first was, it was a mockery of the Last Supper, the painting by Da Vinci, and it centered an obese woman as the, or I don't know if it was an obese trans person or an obese cross-dressing man or whatever person it was to mock Christianity with a group of people who center their illness, perversion as the most important thing about them. And that was the first thing it is. It's that. It's also a bacchanalia and celebrating Bacchus, and which is Roman, but okay, Dionysius, the Greek god whose worship was excess and evil and vile and has nothing to do with the Olympics, by the way, which was to honor Zeus. But all the scolds who wanted to talk about ancient history sadly don't know much at all about it. And so Bacchus and his evil was, Clayton, calm down. It's not what you think. It's actually just celebrating Bacchus. And then the third thing was a fashion show, which of all things is most contemporary to France and points us to a deeply broken part of global culture where women are shamed if they look at all like women and instead are told to be anorexic to the point where they look pretty much like the men who are putting together the fashion shows and desire only other men and don't like female bodies. So it ended with that particular debauched broken culture of drug and sexual abuse that is closest to modern day bacchanals of anything in our culture.
And one of the things that you found most upsetting about that is that a part of the bacchanal was the child being there as part of the show. Because as one of the characters there at the Last Supper, there at this bacchanalia, they had a child.
That took it from my, you know, the original thing, I didn't even notice that there was a kid at first. The original thing I was responding to is essentially, why are they picking on Christians and why do they have blasphemy? And the main answer to that, the main truth is, because they're demonized and they hate Jesus because he is the way, the truth, and the life. His blood was shed for us. He transforms us. But you and I culturally are prepared for persecution, not surprised by it. And although we think that's wrong and that is upsetting and we're not going to willingly give our money or, you know, our time, talent, and treasure to people who mock God, we also don't think that he needs our angry defense or that that's a particularly effective way to engage.
Amen.
There's a part of us in our flesh that says they should fear us like they fear the Muslims. But of course, the difference is that Muhammad said, strive and kill the infidel. And he was a man who enslaved his enemies, the ones that he didn't mass murder. And so when Charlie Hebdo is attacked by Islamists, they're not representing Muhammad poorly. They're representing him pretty accurately.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Jesus commanded his followers to love your enemies and mm-hmm. to pray for those who persecute you. So my initial reaction, hey, guys, listen, I don't actually even believe that having icons of Jesus are helpful. I don't personally love any of those. I certainly don't think that white Jesus is a precious image to me because it's false. And so that was where I first went. And then, goodness gracious, to have people all over the place who claim to be my co-religionists say, calm down, calm down. It's not making fun of Jesus. It's just a celebration of Bacchus. And to notice this precious child being abused in this tableau, cast by this 42-year-old man who said that his goal was to show that love is love and that everyone can love each other. I hope for the sake of the people who posted again and again a defense of this as art that they're not pro-pedophilia. Because if they are, God's wrath will be poured upon them in a horrific way that's even worse than the hell that we all deserve.
Amen.
I think that most of them are just deeply ignorant and don't realize that Bacchus was worshipped often through child sexual exploitation, as well as the rape and sometimes killing of slaves.
Mm-hmm. And so if there had been no reference to the Last Supper, if it had just been a reenactment of a bacchanalia, that would have still been a hideous, demonic display. Now, when we talk about demonic, a lot of people feel that's being judgmental. But if you read Ephesians 2, what God says there is, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Let me read that phrase again from Ephesians 2, verse 2. You followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Now, if you have any question about what is meant when he says the ruler of the kingdom of the air, you can keep reading in Ephesians and you'll come to chapter 6, which tells us that our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers and the rulers of this present darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. This is the nature of reality. So it's not being judgmental to say that what motivates people who don't know Jesus is actually a spiritual kingdom governed by Satan. That's not unfair. It's not judgmental. It's actually quoting what God says in his word, not just about those people in Paris, but about us. All of us were that way. And then it says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, Clayton, we were once spiritually dead. We were once following the ways of this world. But what animates those dead lives is not just a material thing.
They may not even understand it. And part of, there's a very interesting new movement, relatively new, that's becoming extremely popular. And it's I can't remember if they're called secular Christians. I think that's the term they've adopted. But it's basically people who are like, I'm an atheist, but boy, I hope we keep Christianity.
Yep.
And it's just people who aren't ignorant of history. If you understand Roman history, if you understand Greek history, you will understand that children were treated horrifically in both of those cultures, that slaves were exploited horrifically in both of those cultures, and that it is only through the power of Christ that civilization turned and that people began to say, you can never use a child sexually. That is wrong. Why is that wrong? Because they're made in the image of God, and because Jesus said that we need to protect them and care for them, not use them, not exploit them, understand that they're weak, but that is why we who are strong are called to protect the weak and not to use them in vile ways.
Amen. Jesus talks about anyone who causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin would be better off, not might as well, but would be better off with a millstone tied around his neck and drowned in the depths of the sea. It is a horrible thing that God promises he will judge and he will punish. But we're living right now in a culture where some people are being driven by demons to offer their children in sacrifice to the gods of convenience or reputation or whatever, and where many are working diligently to promote the idea that children ought to be able to decide for themselves what gender they are. And the reason why the demons want that accomplished is because when politicians say, as President Joe Biden did, that a child at age 8 ought to be able to decide for themselves what gender they are, when you've got doctors who share that view, psychologists who share that view, educators who share that view, media personalities who share that view, what you're doing is you're removing all the barriers for the pedophiles. You're making it so that children are to be viewed in our culture as being sexual beings who can decide for themselves what they want to be and do sexually. And at that point, sex between an adult and a child can be classified as consensual. As long as no force was used, the child wanted this. And that is where this insanity is leading us.
It is, and much of it is driven, obviously, by the demonic, but it's also driven by traumatized people who were molested. traumatized people who are molested by people like Harvey Milk, who's celebrated. If you have a political party that celebrates as a hero a child molester like Harvey Milk, you're in a very wicked and evil place. Amen. But Harvey Milk is not an atypical crazy story. Harvey Milk, an older gay man taking in a runaway and having sex with that child, is a very typical story, sadly. And because of that, there's so many people who haven't come to grips with the fact that they are a child abuse victim. Mm-hmm. And rather, they want to see for themselves that what happened was actually not a problem, not sin, not evil. They're not a victim. In fact, it was loving. Mm-hmm. And because they can't come to grips with the reality of the horror that was inflicted upon them, they want to perpetuate that and inflict it upon others. It's very tragic. What we know is that that group of people, as children being sexualized, are not happy, and it mars them for the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. Only through miraculous intervention by God can they do well and have healing and freedom from it.
Amen.
And that in the same way, it's also a very negative place. There's two different reactions. I think an appropriate Christian reaction is white-hot rage and a righteous anger to people who are trying to demolish the lines between children and adults. And the second reaction has to do with the people themselves, the people in this bacchanal. Where does that lead? Mm-hmm. It's a nihilism that leads to a deep level of unhappiness. Mm-hmm. Getting drunk, using drugs, abusing yourself, eating food until you're so full that you vomit so you can eat more food. This is the life of a person who is robbed of the purpose and dignity and plan that God created for them. They can say all day long in their stupor as they numb themselves from the overwhelming pain that they're happy, but they're not.
Amen.
They're part of a demon who is destroying them, and they know deep down that their life is terrible. And so our prayer for them should be one of sadness, that like the prodigal with his face down in the pig trough, they will look around, even in the excess that they have, and say, none of this satisfies.
Amen.
And come to know Jesus.
Amen. Folks, that does need to be our prayer, because all around us, you don't have to go to Paris to find people who are hurting. You don't have to go to Paris to find people who are caught in a web of perversion and lies. It is all around the world, and it's in every generation. Sadly, it seems to be multiplying exponentially in our generation, in this country, in the West. It is heinous. The fact is, any continent you go to, except Antarctica, you're going to find this. And so I would just encourage you not to be afraid, not to feel like I've just got to get out of here. As Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians, if you're trying to get away from people who sin, you'd have to go to another world. But what we should not do is allow within the church those who are unrepentant in their sexual immorality or who are tolerating this kind of thing and acting as if it's no big deal. Paul writes to the Corinthians, and he says, with such a person, do not even eat. We're not to celebrate sin. Should sinners be welcome in the church? Absolutely. But it's a place for all of us to experience repentance and transformation. If you're struggling yourself with something that just seems impossible to overcome, I want to encourage you that I know someone who can transform your life. I know someone who can set you free. He's alive, and his name is Jesus.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ is Lord. Don't feel like this is my situation's too shameful, I can't talk about it. You need to be able to talk about it, not with everybody, but with people who really love the Lord and who will really love you. And if you've been hurt in the church or by the church, don't think that that's all there is. God has people that you can reach out to who will love you with the love of Jesus and who will help you get free. If you want help, reach out to us. If you call 866-41-ABIDE, you can leave a message privately, and we will get back to you as soon as we're able. We do not have folks standing by 24 hours a day, but what we do have is a wonderful group that are ready to follow up, and I will do my best personally to get back to you. Some of our listeners, when I've called, have said, I can't believe you called. Well, if you knew me and you knew this operation, you would understand. But what I'm telling you is Jesus is calling. He loves you. He's speaking to you right now and telling you you don't have to be trapped in that hideous sin that has troubled you for so long. You can learn to lay aside that which has entangled you. God will give you freedom if you really want Jesus to be Lord of your life. He will set you free. So don't be afraid to ask for help. And again, our number is 866-41-ABIDE. Toll free. You can call, leave a message 24/7, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. It is also a pleasure and a privilege for us to pray for folks who reach out to us. One of our listeners, long-term listener, is battling a brain tumor right now, and he had sent an email. And again, I was happy to call him, talk with him, then subsequently to talk with his wife. We've been corresponding since. I'm praying for him every single day. He is trusting in the Lord, resting in the Lord, has real peace. And the last time he was calling, he and his wife were reaching out because they wanted some counsel about how to share the gospel with one of their relatives. And I just want you to know, God cares about you. He sent Jesus to die for sinners. Mm-hmm. We're the only kind of people on the planet. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Amen.
So everything that Clayton shared, amen. I'm in complete agreement. Sin is hideous. It is awful. If you want to know how seriously God takes sin, look at the cross. Mm-hmm. When our sin, our guilt was put on Jesus, he died a horrible death. He bore the wrath of God that we deserve. But the Bible says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Don't let the devil who led you into sin make you think that now because you've sinned, God can't love you. He died for sinners. That means you can reach out to him and he will be there for you. He loves you more than you can imagine, but he will not leave you dead in trespasses and sin. He doesn't leave us the same. Just as I am, I come. I come, the old hymn says. But folks, just as I am, I will not stay. I want to add another verse to that song. Just as I am, I will not stay. The Lord has come to show me the way and to make the way for me through Jesus Christ. He comes to live inside of us when we yield our lives to him. And I want you to yield your life to him today. You don't have to talk to me to do that. You need to talk to him. Ask him to save you. Say, well, I don't know what to say. Don't worry about what to say. Just be careful who you say it to. Ask Jesus to take control of your life. He'll answer that prayer. God bless you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.